carefulness with the football or his carelessness through two games with the football had me concerned. Bino, we disagreed on that. He proved me right tonight, buddy. Oh, something happened to Bino there. I guess Bino said, screw you. I ain't talking to you anymore. Let's go back to our, what do you think, Tone? I was worried about him, and he kind of, man, he just wasn't taking care of the ball, Tone, like he should be.
Watching him today,
yeah.
I got a chance to really just see his mechanics real well. And, you know, that's not what I've seen in practice, you know, but I can say practice is different than game. And he throws a lot of balls off his back foot, you know, and when you're throwing off your back foot, you're not in control of the ball as well. So, but when he sets up and he's, you know, he's proper mechanics, he throws the ball real well. You seen that one, Ethan Wolf.
Yeah.
Everything. So, you know, he throws the ball. He's got a nice ball, but when he's throwing off his back foot, a lot of quarterbacks have problems throwing off the back foot. I have problems throwing my back foot. You'll make some good throws every now and then, but majority of the time, you're hoping you get the ball in.
You know, it looks to me like one of the things you see when him not stepping into it, and this is what's concerned me early on, is that guy's body language, Tone. He doesn't look like he's all in. And I don't mean like in an effort sense. I just mean like he doesn't look like he thinks he belongs. He doesn't look field generalish. To me. And he looks that way when he lets balls go. Why are you throwing off your back foot when they're giving you a clean pocket? Step into the throw. And if it's a pick, it's a pick, right?
Right. You know, now one pick, the one on the goal line, now that wasn't his fault. That wasn't his fault there. Now that was not.
Talk
his
to
fault.
Me. Why do you say that?
You know, the receiver, it was a slant route. The receiver broke into the slant and he was in his motion of throwing the ball. He threw the ball. And the last thing, his receiver broke up the field then. You know what I'm saying? He's expecting him to do a slant. He done a slant and go, kind of like a route, which he says kept on a slant. I think if he kept on a slant, it would have been a touchdown, Tony. But he broke it off. He broke his route off. He fooled the quarterback. That's what we call fooling the quarterback.
And T. Rob, I'll kind of echo what Tony said a moment ago. And what I think he doesn't look comfortable, to me, it looks like when he has the ability to set up and throw correct with correct form, not off the back foot. I agree with you. He threw Ethan Wolf open on that play.
Yep.
He throws a pretty ball when he's set. But my thing is, and like Tony, what you said, even when the pocket's there, sometimes he doesn't look comfortable. I think that all the running around and the rolling out is
no
misdirection.
Doubt about that.
To me, I think that that's in his head. He just looks like he would be. When you asked earlier, Tony, is he an SEC quarterback? To me, he looks like he's an SEC quarterback in 2003, 2004 for these pro-style offense. He doesn't look like he's a Butch Jones dual threat, this kind of system quarterback.
And Bino, that's kind of your point, isn't it, about him? When I was talking yesterday about how scared I was of him in terms of taking care of the ball, maybe Al's right. Maybe they're asking him to do too much. Maybe that's a part of this.
Yeah, no, I think Alex is correct. I think there's very few systems in the SEC today where a guy who isn't mobile can be a big-time player for you. It's just the mode of offense that most of these teams are in. And you've got to be dead-letter perfect if you can't.
Well, I got to say
this. You certainly can't give the ball up in the area that's supposed to be your strength.
865-200. Go ahead, Tony. You want to make a point, then we go back to the phones. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's a good point there. And Alex, you did too. I think they need to get out of that Josh Dobbs era and get in with the Dormady era. Mm. You know, Dormady's not a Josh Dobbs. So you got to work with what you got. You know what I'm saying? Move Dormady around a little bit, get him on the edges a little bit, set him in the pocket a little bit. But I think Dormady needs to get rid of the ball a little sooner. He needs to get off receivers quicker than he's doing now. You know what I'm saying? For that next step, you know, he's looking at a receiver too long. You know what I mean? There's one play where he looked at the tight end before too long, and then he went to a secondary receiver. You know, which was good, but he needs to get off of that read faster. You know, get off his first read. If it's not there, go to your secondary or go to your third, you know, your third receiver or whatever. He needs to get off of him faster. He needs to go through his progression much faster.
Let's go to our next call, 865-200-5402. My name is Tony Basilio of TonyBasilio.com. The great Tony Robinson is joining us from Parts Unknown by the magic of Skype. Bino the Great is joining us as well. Let's get our next call in, along with the great Alex Myers, who's in studio, keeping us posted. We're going to go to another scoreboard update here momentarily. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hey, welcome in. Good to hear your voice tonight. Thank you for being there.
Yeah, of course. This is Tucker from Chi-Town. I'm a first-time caller.
Thank you, Tucker.
Listener.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, my biggest concern here, first of all, is 28 years old, and that's the worst Florida team I think we've ever faced. In 28 years, I've been alive. I mean, that all was just pathetic.
Tucker, haven't we said that for 3 or 4 years
no,
in a row now?
No, that team right there today is worse than any team Tennessee lost to in the Butch Jones era. That team tonight that they lost to, without those two playmakers on the field, they are total, complete garbage. They're not even good defensively. Tennessee shoved them around at the point of attack. You don't see that down there. I mean, you just don't see that. Tucker, well said. I can't agree anymore, possibly, with what you just said. We lost to a terrible Florida team.
Rushing plus with the running back that had another almost 100-yard rushing. I mean, that Florida defense is average at best, and we just lost to them. I mean, you know, that's what most – and on top of that, we had the ball inside the 10-yard line. We didn't give it to probably one of the best running backs in the SEC, John Kelly, who's a beast. We didn't give it to him twice.
Yep.
Both times we had an opportunity to score. We didn't give it to him. I mean, that's what's pathetic. And you know what? I'm at this point in time, our luck ran out. That's karma for the Georgia game, and we got Chip Kelly sitting there. I think we go with him. That's all I gotta say. So I'll hang up and listen to you. I really
well,
enjoy the show.
That's first. Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Well, Bino, that was easy. Chip Kelly's name's already come up.
How old did Tucker say he was?
28. 28 years young, brother.
Well, he should thank his lucky stars. At least he'll live long enough to see us beat him in Gainesville. If we can't beat that team, I won't.
865-200-5402. Tony, they really were un-Florida-like, that team we saw tonight, Tone.
Man, listen, Tone, perfect situation, perfect opportunity, and we pissed on it. You know what I'm saying? We just totally pissed on it, man. I told you, my prediction was 4-0 going into that after the Massachusetts game.
Yes.
I said we'd be 4-0. You know, and Tony, we should have beat Florida by at least 17 points or more.
We're 17 points better than that team, and I don't think we're great, by the way. But that was some malpractice today by Butch Jones, and for him to, after that game, in case you're interested, the quote of the night from him is, "On the goal line, Alex, why did we not?" The exact quote of why we did not get up and run the ball inside the 10-yard line. Not one time. Not one time. Alex, the answer is?
Quote, it's a scheme thing.
That is un-freaking Bino acceptable. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Is that me, Tony?
That's you right there, man. Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Kevin from Leesburg again.
Welcome, Kev.
I call after every game. There's a couple things. There's tons to get to. First of all, I hate the shotgun on the goal line. Get somebody under center and let's run the freaking ball.
How hard is it? He won't do it. This guy is not going to do that. I was holding out hope that this guy was going to do it. This guy will not do that. He refuses to do that.
I don't understand why. So, but I don't. I'm not one that I don't like. I'm not the hate Butch guy. But also, we also have to expect our players to execute. We dropped passes in the end zone. We missed three free field goals. Was there, like, mistakes? I'm not saying there wasn't coaching mistakes, because there absolutely was. But we never seemed to not blame. I don't want to blame college, but hold them accountable for execution. we executed so poorly on the goal line as well.
Look, man, when you get inside that goal line and you don't call one running play, that's a disgrace. When you've run the ball, you can.
How about three missed field goals?
It doesn't matter. It's a disgrace.
How about the touchdown that Josh Palmer should have had?
Yeah, but they got kids dropping balls too. I mean, that's college football.
No, I'm not saying they don't do, but don't say, hey, they did it too. No, we have to.
No, it's college football, man. They did it too. The bottom line is that college football is a crazy game.
I get it, Tony, but the easy thing is to always blame the coaches for everything.
Butch Jones makes $4.2 million. Those kids make nothing except what a booster pays them.
No, that's fine, but you're working with student-athletes, so are they not accountable for anything?
Sure. Tony Robinson just said about one of those guys in the secondary that they're brutal. T-Rob just said a guy in the secondary is brutal, to your point. So, sure, there's some of that. And if you don't play well, you know what happens if you're a position player and you don't perform? Help me out, caller. What happens to that guy?
Well, Martin got put back in, so actually you get a second and third chance.
Yeah, you lose your job, though. On good teams, you lose your job, right?
No, I understand that, but I think if there's key plays, you can lose your job, but if there's key plays and you miss and you're not executing right on those key plays, the field goal drives me crazy. The worst thing that happened was for I don't understand the same thing happening against Georgia last year and the same thing happening tonight.
Well, let me ask Tony about that. That's a great point you bring up, and then I'll let you climb in here and Beanstar as well. Tony, is them letting that play, the throw, go over top of them, is that coaching or is that execution, Tony? What do you call that?
The last play of the game?
Absolutely, the last play of the game.
Let me tell you what that is. That's poor execution on his part. Because, Tony, if you look at that last play, he was in perfect position until he looked in the backfield. Once he looked in the backfield, it was all over. It was all over. Because if you notice, he was dropping back. He was deeper than the receiver.
Yeah, I mean,
and once he starts settling, look at his head. His head was in the backfield, but the quarterback. You should be looking at the quarterback. You should be looking for a receiver. Any receiver trying to get deeper than you, you should be getting there.
So you don't blame Tone, a coordinator, for that? You don't blame a secondary coach for that? You blame the kid for that? Hang on. Let me ask Tony.
Listen, Tony. They teach those guys. It's the last play of the game. Don't let anybody get deeper than you. Okay? Well, he got caught looking in the backfield, Tony. Tony, he got caught looking in the backfield, T. And once that happens, that guy went right by him. Right by him. That was his fault. It wasn't poor coaching. It was
all right. Very good, caller. There you go, man. I will stand corrected with T-Rob saying that.
The coaches teach them better than that now, Tony.
Okay. Okay, because it happened 2 years in a row, Tone, in big games.
Tony, he hadn't learned anything from that.
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No, I apologize for talking over any T-Rob. But, yes, the execution last year was in. He slowed up. It's not like they didn't coach him to do it. He physically slowed up against Florida, and then he looks at the backfield. So I'm not saying that our coaches don't have issues, but I think we are so conditioned to hate our coaches now that our players can do almost anything, and it's going to be like, well, that's coaching.
Listen, man,
there's no accountability.
Bino, what do you say to our caller here? Let's go around the room. Bino?
I don't believe there's any doubt in the era of huge salaries for coaches that we're a little too hard on them and a little too forgiving of players. But I do think it's a coaching issue when the same thing happens 2 years in a row. You should have fixed it. They should have understood. The situation happened last year. We cannot do it again. That's coaching. Josh Palmer dropped a touchdown touchdown after we had blown a play from the 1 yard line because we're in the shotgun with a second team quarterback walking around there trying to bark out signals that we got pushed back to the 5 because we get a motion penalty. That's coaching. So there's blame to go around. I just find it hard to blame the kids that played as hard as they did when I see a whole lot more problems on the coaching end than I do on the players' end.
Alex, what do you say to our caller?
You know, I'd say you got
because I like engaging this gentleman. Go ahead.
Yeah, you got several good points, and I agree with Bino that sometimes we are a little too hard on the coaches in the era where they're just paid astronomical amounts of money. But my thing is with kind of as Bino said, Todd Kelly was out there last year in that Georgia game, if I'm not mistaken. He was gone today. Cameron Sutton was out there, if I'm not mistaken. He's not out there today. So the common denominator that you have out there is who? Bob Shoup. And wow. And on the field goal subject, I understand that, yes, at the end of the day, I'm a critic at times when you need to be. And at the end of the day, you miss a field goal, you're the one that missed it. Butch Jones didn't miss that field goal. But if other than the play at the field goal at the end of the half where they just kicked it because they ran out of time, if you capitalize on opportunities and score the football, then you take kicking a field goal out of the question. And when you have the ball at the 1 yard line, you shouldn't be kicking a field goal because even if it's fourth down, as we saw a couple years ago, people got on the Butch Jones 4, you run the ball again and say, stop me. That's wow. That's what I would say.
The other thing
I agree with you. I never, like, I want one of my few, I don't tweet a lot, but one of my few tweets is line up, take the snap from under center and hand somebody the freaking ball and let's see what happens. I don't understand when you have 1 yard to go and you snap it 7 yards back. It doesn't make sense to me. But I'm just saying, maybe I'm just trying to be too nuanced. I don't understand. It's not that the coaches have been great, but it's not all on them either. The player, I mean, they're going to get fired. The players aren't going to get fired.
Well, it's
somebody needs to perform.
I appreciate your call. Thank you. And I love the balance. So God bless you, man. Call us again. 865-200-5402.
I'm not disputing a whole lot of what he said, Tony. I think we do put too much on coaches. But another thing is you get back to field goals. Medley has been very good from inside 40 and dreadful from beyond 40. And he's been our place kicker for 4 years. That's coaching as well.
Yeah, he can't make a college distant field goal. No offense to him.
And he's been our place kicker for 4 years. So whose fault is it that he keeps getting run out there? I know Smaglia went 1 for 3, but one of his misses was from 51 yards.
Yes, it was.
I would have run him back out there for that 44 after I had him kick the other three.
I agree with that. Because I don't know what you're saying to him now. Now you've got two guys that are confused, right?
I mean, you put Medley in there as a pinch hitter. He's never pinch hit before.
Mm. Well, we got away with it until we didn't get away with it on the backside. Let's go to the next call, 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome to our next caller. You're on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Tennessee loses tonight in heartbreaking fashion. I'm not even going to say the score. It pisses me off. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony? This is Jason from Virginia.
Hey, Jason, in Virginia. Welcome in, man. Thanks for being there tonight.
Hey, first of all, thank you to you, T-Rob, for everything y'all do, man. The show is awesome, you and Bino as well. Florida possessed the ball over half of the first quarter, and defense was going to be gassed by the third quarter, and we were not going to be in the game at all. Then my focus went to the offense, and – to T. Rob's point, when we opened the second half, we run one running play. We ran, I think, a quick screen to the right and two incompletions, and that was it. Our main staple was running the ball. We dominated the line of scrimmage, and we abandoned it when we got to within less than 3 feet of the goal line. And the caller before, to his point, yes, I know there's a lot of pressure put on coaches, and a lot of blame does get put on them. But at some point, You've had 5 years to establish a program, and you're still making, whether it's a scheme error or a chart error, as he likes to allude to in his press conferences, at some point, it is pure coaching at that aspect.
It's remarkable. It's a really great point, man. You're in year five, and we're back at the Oklahoma game tonight. That's what I feel like. We just went back in time, you know? It's like back to the future. We just lost a football game, guys. We had absolutely no business of losing. And, Tony, how about his point that we're just smashing Florida's face in until we get down that goal line, and then we just completely abandon Kelly? It doesn't make any sense.
Tony, I've been saying all along, it doesn't make any sense, man. You know, I understand, you know, when you're running the ball good, it makes you play action plays better. You know what I'm saying? So when you got a runner like John Kelly, why not give a fake to John Kelly and try a pass off of that? Or give the ball to John Kelly. John Kelly has got to touch the ball.
Well,
inside 10 yard line. Bottom line, he's got to touch the ball.
And we had seven chances tonight. And John Kelly, they threw one ball at him. And to our caller's point, here's my thing, caller. What about this? This coach likes to act like he's really progressive and cutting edge, and we're carrying trash cans around and this and that. Everybody has a gimmick, whatever. And I don't like the trash can, but I kind of wish we had a championship belt or something that connotes winning. But he wants to carry a trash can around. Maybe we can get waste management, you know, or somebody to sponsor him or whatever. And maybe he'll start doing waste management commercials, him and his stupid offense on the goal line. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I'll never understand. You guys cannot convince me after watching John Kelly tonight. If you line up on the goal line like we were, a foot away, and you call a toss sweep, pick your side, but you call a toss sweep to him, there is no way in hell before you, God, Bino, T-Rob, and my man Alex, and the millions listening to us around the world tonight, and there are hundreds of thousands of people listening to us. There is no way he does not get a foot to your point. You could tell them where you're going to run that play, and he's going to score. Am I lying to my caller? Am I lying?
No, you're not. And the thing is, our front line averages well over 310 pounds.
Yes.
We have dominated the line of scrimmage. You have an absolute man in the backfield in John Kelly. And to T-Rob's point, you could have at least faked a dive to him and sent him over the top and thrown at least a pop pass or something to a tight end. But no, we line up in a spread offense on the 1 yard line, and due to penalties, go backwards. And we get nowhere and then eventually throw an interception. We left three field goals on the field and a touchdown.
No. We left touchdowns on the goal. We left touchdowns on the field. Those field goals, we should have never even thought about kicking a field goal. We should have got touchdowns at that point. Those were touchdowns.
I agree.
Those were straight touchdowns, man. We left 17 to 24 points on the field tonight.
Mm. What a painful loss, man. Damn it.
It is. Thank you all so much again, man, for what y'all do.
Thank you, brother. Go ahead, Tone.
Hey, I want to go back to that last play. Okay. Now, let me clarify something here. All right. You lost the game like that 2 years ago. Okay. And the same guys were there. All right. Now, you're back in the same situation again. Do you think I'm going to let a guy get behind me? If I'm playing safety and I got beat before, do you think I'm going to let anybody get deeper than me? I mean, think about it now. I'm not letting anybody get – this is the last play of the game. I can't let anybody get deeper than me. This is not the coaches will tell you, hey, man, get deep. Don't let anybody get behind you. What happens? The same thing. Looking in the backfield will get you beat every time, Tony. Any DB looks in that backfield is going to get beat, man. And I know one thing. When I was playing, if you look in the backfield with me, I'm going to beat you. I'm going over the top, just like Felipe did. And what happens? We get our butts blown out of the end.
But to Bino's point, it's the only play he could have made. I mean, what are you – That's the thing that's always going to haunt me, Beano, about that game. What the hell does our safety think's going to happen there? Of course they're throwing to the end zone. What's he going for, the interception, Beano?
Why weren't we in the biggest umbrella that's ever been?
Thank you.
They did not have time to run a draw and kick a field goal. They didn't have time. They had 7 seconds. All they had time to do was sling it all the way down the field, and we didn't have enough people back there.
And stick a couple athletes out there like Tyler Bird and let them knock balls down. How hard is that?
I understand Tony's point completely. It's inexcusable to let anybody get behind you. That's the only thing that they can do. But I just feel like if people are properly coached in that situation, that there's no way that it happens. They're not looking for anything else except for that.
And nobody's brought it up yet. That was Abernathy that was beat, correct?
Yes.
So nobody's brought it up yet, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but if Todd Kelly's in that ball game as a senior, do you think he gets beat? And he's slower than Abernathy probably, but do you think he lets that happen?
Todd Kelly doesn't get beat, man.
No, but he's out. But he's out for the year, and that's not out for. He is probably out for the year, and that's the issue here. The issue is if there's a guy, if there's a chance to be snake bit, that's the theme of this Florida series. The theme of the Florida series is Tennessee's injuries tonight, and a kid they could have had on the field with some experience and not out there hurt them. Florida's 10 suspensions, including the two guys that are their two best playmakers, they get away with it. That's the theme. And for somehow, that McElwain guy, shark lover that he is, CPO Sharky, Sharky's machine, shark love.
Lucky son of a gun.
That son of a bitch has pulled more games out of his ass than anybody I've ever seen in my life. It's crazy.
Well, after watching that nonsense for 60 minutes, I'm about
Tony,
to jump the shark.
I couldn't agree more, man. You hit the nail on the head with that one, man. Good God almighty. He is one of the luckiest son of a bitches I know, man.
Beano, we're keeping it real tonight. You want to hang around or you got to go, buddy? Talk to me.
Tony, I'm going to jump off of here. Just a couple of quick things. I want to echo something Brocky said earlier in this show.
All right.
Off of tonight's subject. Tony, I had a chance to watch the 30 for 30 on the replacements, and I thought you were absolutely fantastic on there. It made me proud that I'm a Tennessee fan and that you were a former Tennessee player, and I'm so happy for you. And I'm absolutely proud that not only are you a former Tennessee player, but now I can call you a friend and a colleague. It's an honor. It's an absolute honor. So thank you.
Hey, man, look here. It's my honor, man. It's an honor for me to call you a friend, a great friend, man. And, thank you for the compliment, man. And you always, I'm speechless, man. I'm speechless, man.
Mm.
This game tonight, I don't want to overreact to one football game. And I'm extremely proud of the fact that Jones's players play till the final whistle. They never quit. So they obviously play hard for him, which is a great thing. But it doesn't seem to matter who our coach is, who our players are, what uniform we wear. We can't get it done down there in Gainesville. I am thrilled to death that it is at least 2 years before we go back down to that hellhole again, because I'm so sick of watching the same thing over and over and over. I hope that my fear is wrong and that this season plays out and we're a much better football team going forward. But I'm scared to death that tonight we took a step back, and that basically what we're always going to be under this regime is an almost football program.
Beano, well said. You break my heart, brother. And it's very, very, very apropos the way you put that. Thanks, man.
You guys have a great night.
Butch Jones, to this point, and we were presented tonight by our friends at Miller & Coors at our watch party. And Butch Jones, to this point, is a light beer. He tastes great, but his era is less filling. And what we want here is we want to play in Atlanta, and we want some championships, and damn it. We want to play in Atlanta, and we want some championships, and there is nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Because here's the thing. When you're a Tennessee Volunteer, you want to play like a champion. And you want to give your all for Tennessee today. And I'm holding, for the folks watching me on Periscope right now, I'm holding a slap sign up. Slap signs are handcrafted in this right here in the state of Tennessee. And T-Rob, you have a slap sign coming your way. T-Rob loves that sign. You got one coming your way, T. You'll be able to put it up, put it up in your house. That's awesome looking.
Tennessee today and every day.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do, T. I know T-Rob gives his all. He's giving it all, giving his all for you right now. Handmade wooden UT Tradition Treasures, protected with polyurethane, a long-lasting finish. They are beautiful. Listen, don't you dare settle for some cheap copy, some piece of trash. Accept nothing, nothing less than slap signs. Available at slapsigns.com, officially licensed by the University of Tennessee, proudly crafted in the great state of Tennessee. This sign is 27 by 8. That I'm holding in my hand right now. And we're going to go back to our phones here momentarily. Alex has a quick look at our scores. Alex hit it. We got a bunch of interesting games going on, including Kentucky and South Carolina.
Yeah, Kentucky right now up on South Carolina late with 41 seconds to go in the second quarter. Kentucky has a 14-6 lead. Vanderbilt and K-State all tied up at the half, 7 apiece in a low-scoring affair so far. Georgia winning right now, but not winning in maybe the fashion you might expect. Only up 21-7 as they near the half there in Athens. LSU and Mississippi State, the Tigers of LSU, trail 20-7 with 9:10 to play left in the third quarter. With 6:03 left in the third quarter, Alabama on top of Colorado State, 31-10. Louisville and Clemson, as we take a look outside the SEC and go to the ACC. They're all tied up at 7. It's been a back-and-forth game so far, rather low-scoring affair as that one just kicked off the second quarter. Michigan beats Air Force today. It was a pretty good game until late when Michigan made it look worse than it really was. Michigan on top 29-13. UCLA, a loss to Memphis in Memphis today, 48-45, as Ohio State also, they beat Army 38-7. Mississippi State and LSU, as I said, that one just went to half. As I'm getting, it's actually 20-7. As I said a moment ago, we got a couple different scoreboards going up here, and one of them's a second behind. Here's what's going to happen: we're going to take just a moment to get up, stretch your arms out, and we encourage you to do the same. And we were going to stay right here, though. Don't go anywhere, as the show will continue in just a moment. T-Rob, go get yourself a cool glass of water. Stretch your arms out. We're going to do the same. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to the wildest and, yes, wooliest post-game fan show in college football. The Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction with your host, Tony Vasilio. Tony needs to take a quick break, and he'll be right back for more of the Fifth Quarter. If you're new to the world of Tony Vasilio, welcome to the nerve center of the Big Orange Universe. It starts with TonyVasilio.com. If you want the truth and nothing but the truth on what's going on at the University of Tennessee, TonyVasilio.com is your place, and it's absolutely free. Unlike other sites, Tony doesn't hide the good stuff behind a paywall. It's all out there, just for you, and it's listener-supported. So please, consider leaving us a tip as you check out TonyVasilio.com. Strong recruiting information and analysis from X. Inside information from the Ball Colonel and Orange Throat, plus Matt Dixon covers the balls. Sharp opinions from basketball expert Keith Hatfield and all-around sports guy Jeff Vino Henderson. And of course, no one brings it online like Tony Vasilio, and a lot of good emails from the fans. As we take a timeout, click over to TonyVasilio.com and check out our Next Level Network family of podcast offerings. Gate 21 celebrates great wins in UT history. Ball Scars commemorates the losses that left a mark. The X-Cast with X brings the inside word on recruiting. Clonecast will make you laugh out loud. And they're all free at TonyVasilio.com. Support the revolution.
appreciate you staying with us tonight. We got to, for the sake of the conversation, you got to take a brief time out every once in a while just to kind of clear your head, which is exactly what we just did. We plan on staying on here a long time this evening as Tony Robinson joining us tonight from Parts Unknown, the Vol legend, fresh off his starring in that 30 for 30, because that's exactly what Tony did. He absolutely starred tonight in that 30 for 30. 865-200-5402 is my number. If you want to get in with us tonight, again, 865-200-5402. It's an incredible thing that Tennessee coughed that game up tonight. And I don't know any other way to say it other than they coughed the game up. The kids played so well and so hard and deserved such a better fate. But all too often here under this coaching staff, we we're just not good enough, man. We're just not good enough. Has the program made strides? Sure. Sure. And look, if that's your thing, if your thing is strides, and if your thing is what's good enough, you know, if your thing is going to minor bowl games, he's your guy, man. He's your guy. Now, we got a long season left, but to this point in time, Butch Jones has been a light beer. He tastes great. He's less filling. And there really is not much more that you can say about him to this point. Cause I can't lie to you. What's one thing that I would never do to you? I just can't lie. I just can't lie about this guy. I just can't. I want to lie. I want to lie to you so badly tonight, but I just can't do it. It's not in me. We'll go back to our phones. As Alex was just telling you, some of the interesting action that's going on right now. Clemson and Louisville, flip that thing on. It's going to be a classic tonight. It's going to be a classic football game. That Lamar Jackson is an awesome player. And Clemson has a very good football team. And that's going to be a really great game up there. That's some high-level football. I'm going to tell you something. What Tennessee and Florida played today, Alex, was not high-level. It just was not.
No. I mean, it was – and you can tell by watching it. You know, we talked about sitting here last week and watching Clemson and Auburn play,
yep,
and watching those two defenses fly around the football. You can tell good football, and then you can tell when the quality is just not there. And to your point, before we get this caller in,
yeah,
you talk about Butch Jones and this and that, and I just have two words for you and one name. Ron Zook.
Yeah, it's fair. That's a fair analogy. 865-200-5402. Next caller up on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Tony?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, it's Matt from Kingsport, Tennessee, buddy.
Hey, Matt in beautiful Kingsport. Welcome in, man.
How y'all doing tonight?
Buddy, been better. Been better, man.
I hear you. I don't know about Butch Jones being like a light beer. I think he's more like some white lightning moonshine. It burns like hell and makes you feel like shit the next day.
I tell you what Butch Jones has done for me, though, man, is his brand of football has taught me how to drink. Seriously, I was like a teetotaler before the Butch Jones era. And, brother, yeah, I'm getting ready to come get some white lightning from you, man.
I hear you. He'll definitely increase your tolerance in a hurry, I promise.
Hey, Tone, you think we would drink some white lightning? You think if this caller brought some white lightning down, we could drink some in the mirror studio?
Almost definitely, man. Most,
yeah,
because the way things are going right now, but we need some.
Yeah. Wow.
From what I've seen the first couple of weeks, I'm gonna be ready to swim in it in another two or three.
Oh, tell me about it, brother. Tell me about it.
Man, I don't know, Tony. I had called in after that Georgia Tech game a couple of weeks ago, and I was ranting and raving, and you know how awful, you know, that game was, but I believe this took the cake, man. I mean, the play calling was absolutely horrendous. I mean, I swear to gosh, I could slap on a headset and run plays out of a Madden playbook and do better than Butch Jones. I mean, it is not rocket science to know when you've got John Kelly, who is averaging 7.4 yards a carry tonight, and you don't even hand him the ball one single time when we're inside the 10-yard line twice, on the 1-yard line to be exact one of the times. And then on another time, we was inside like the 25 or 30, and we didn't run the ball that entire series either. They ended up in a sack that put us in a bad just no excuse whatsoever and not running the ball. And I don't care if you're under center or not under center. I would rather be under center like most people, but even if you're going to sit there and run it out of shotgun, you have got to run the ball. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
It's so stubborn, and this will make you feel better, though, because after the game, what Butch Jones said about that, and I love when Alex gives us this quote because it just blows my mind to hear it time and time again. But Butch Jones said that what the reason they didn't run the ball down there with him was, Alex,
quote, "It's a scheme thing."
What?
A scheme thing?
That's what he said. It's a scheme thing.
I got a scheme thing for you. We're now 2-1, and we've beaten Florida one time, and you're 0-4 against Will Muschamp. Let that sink in for scheme.
That don't make no sense. Like, that's Vegas shit, first of all. And second of all, what scheme would suggest that you don't run the ball inside the 10-yard line? Especially after Dormady had already threw one interception down there. Why would you want to risk throwing the ball against Florida's defense inside the 10-yard line, where your receivers don't have much room to maneuver, and everything's a lot more compact and tight down there? It's a lot harder to score throwing the ball in the red zone than anywhere else. So why would you want to take the risks of doing that, especially after we had already been miserable down there trying to do it once before, and then you come right back down there again and you don't want to run the ball because of scheme? I need a better understanding what scheme it is he's referring to.
It's a scheme thing, brother. It's a scheme thing. And he's proud of it. And here's the thing about it. This is the thing, Tony, that drives me nuts about this head coach, Tone, is that this guy's proud of that, Tony. He's proud that it's a scheme thing, T-Rob.
I don't know why, T. You know, it's just like that Oklahoma game. What was it? What did he say it was? The book. He said the book. That book.
The chart.
Maybe. You throw that book in the ocean somewhere, man.
It's a chart, Tone. You know? It's a chart, Tone.
What's that now?
It's a chart, Tone, not a book. It's a chart.
The chart. Okay, we can throw that chart, book, whatever, in the ocean. You know, you've
got a trash can right over there on the sideline you could throw it in.
Tone, can we put the chart?
That's great in turnovers.
Let's put the chart and the scheme. And Butch Jones is coaching in these games, and throw it in his trash can.
Send it with Irma.
Yeah, and put it in Irma.
I'm going to have to borrow that trash can from you so I can throw my guts up in it. That's how sick I am after watching this game.
It is.
That's what they need to use that trash can for. They need to pass it around so all of us can puke in it.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And I tell you, T-Rob, I got to disagree with you about Dormady. I know you had said earlier that you think he can be an SEC quarterback, but I just don't see it. I mean, tonight he was 21-39, one touchdown, three interceptions. That's a quarterback rating of 34.2. Okay, going back to the Georgia Tech game, he was 20-37 with a quarterback rating of 66. I mean, yeah, you say when he can have time to set his feet and, you know, throw the ball that he's more accurate. Well, that's with anybody, T-Rob. I mean, Tony could sit there in the pocket and throw a 10-yard out pass. I mean, that doesn't prove anything at all, you know. And the fact of the matter is you can't always stand right in the center of the pocket and expect a complete pass after pass. You know, you've got to be able to at least be able to roll outside the pocket or, you know, have the footwork to dodge, you know, defenders coming your way in order to be successful. And unless you're going to have a laser arm and be accurate, be one of the top quarterbacks, then, you know, you've got to be able to be mobile a little bit. And he is not mobile at all. He's got about as much mobility as a tree stump. I mean, the man just stands back there and can't move, and he gives us no threat at all in the read option. I mean, the defense knows that there is no way he's going to run it, and if he does, you know, the defensive tackle could probably outrun him. So it limits us a lot. I don't even understand what the point in running a read option play with Dormady is.
And they ran that one read option there at midfield about early in the fourth quarter. And, I mean, that thing was swallowed up so quickly. And he had some running room there, but He just didn't have the speed to get anything on the outside. So your point is well taken.
Yeah, I've never seen honestly, I don't remember a quarterback being as slow as he is. You know, even Worley wasn't that slow. You know what I mean? Like, he is just slow. He is super slow. And if you're going to run the read option, I think you need to throw Jarrett Garantano in there. You know, even if you know that he's only in there four running plays, at least has to make the defense think about it.
Tony, would you mix it up with these quarterbacks and play Garantano some?
It's hard to say, Tony. It's according to what the situation is. You know, the caller has his point, you know, about Dorman, you know. I think he sits in the pocket too long, you know. There's a clock in your head that has to go off and tell you, hey, it's time for me to move, you know what I'm saying, to do something. And, you know, like I said, again, it comes from experience, you know. You got to realize, you know, Dorman hasn't played much. So let's give him a chance, folks. Let's give him a chance. I'm telling you now, you know, just give him a chance. It wasn't his fault that we didn't win it. We didn't win the game tonight. Okay, it wasn't his fault.
It wasn't all his fault, but he definitely didn't help us much either. He had that one good throw to Ethan Wolf, and that was about it. I mean, that one interception down in the red zone where the receiver broke his route and didn't continue on, I know that was all his fault, but again, why throw that pass? You know what I mean? Like, he's throwing the pass, anticipating the receiver to keep on running. I get that. But to me, you just don't take that risk when you're only down by three. You know what I mean? You see the route there before you throw it. I just thought it was a chance that he shouldn't have took. And then the one to Marquez Callaway was, you know, 4 feet above his head. And I mean, that was all on Dormady as well. You know, Marquez made try to make a catch, but it was just too high out of his reach. So I just see poor decisions all over the field. I see, you know, him not being able to move around whatsoever, thing like that, just being able to avoid pressure. If he stands back there any longer in the same spot, see, Robbie's going to grow roots, I'm telling you.
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. You know, he's got to move, and he's got to be able to move in the pocket a little better. He's got to make decisions, you know, tough a receiver. You know, you got to see this when a receiver's not open. You got to get off of him and go to your secondary or your third receiver. You know,
so I feel like he has a hard time going through his progressions, T. Rob. I feel like if the one guy ain't there, he's all to hell. You know.
Hey, listen, great call, man. Thanks for your passion. Thanks for being there.
All right, Tony. Y'all have a good one, buddy.
My man Marcos Garza has a passion as well for helping people. He wants to take care of you. GarzaLaw.com is the website. I thank Marcos for letting us do this tonight. And a sponsorship of what we do here, what we do on television as well. Tony Robinson, we do a terrific TV show called In the Pocket as well. John Adams is on there. We get a cast of thousands. We had Johnny Majors on this week. And, Alex, you had a question for T. Rob, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Yeah, it was kind of rebounding off the caller's point. And we talked about this. We touched on it a little bit earlier, T. Rob. When you talk about putting a guy like Garantano in it, and from what I've learned from you, I have a tremendous amount of respect for you, T. Rob, and I certainly respect your quarterback opinion. And you've told us for a while now that Dormady is, quite frankly, he's more ready to play at this moment. So I respect you when you say that. But I wonder, you know, Josh Dobbs, his whole thing when he got in that Alabama game, I guess it was probably his freshman, sophomore year when the offense started going after Worley. I think it was Worley had gotten hurt. The offense started going, and maybe Josh Dobbs wasn't really ready to go right then. But he kind of could maneuver his way into making some plays because of his athleticism. And I wonder, with Dormady's, with his struggling ability to get his feet set and seem comfortable from a physicality standpoint maneuvering around in this offense, I almost wonder if Garantano, if he comes in there, I'm not saying take the starting position, but if he comes in there at times, can just kind of loosen that offense up and in a role where he's maybe a little bit more comfortable moving around, and yeah, maybe he's not as accurate, or maybe he's not quite, the reins aren't as pulled in quite as much on him as a passer developing yet, but maybe with his athleticism, a couple of guys get open a little bit more, and he doesn't have to, maybe just some things on the offensive side open up a little bit more because of his comfortability, similarly to how things opened up when Josh Dobbs got in there and moved around a little bit more several years ago.
Well, you know, you got two different players there. Dobbs can open up the pass, and he can open up the run for himself. Okay. Now, with Dormady, I think our run opens up our passing game. And when the beast is running the ball, you play off of him. You can't play off of Dormini. You can't let Dormini, you can't let the beast play off of Dormini. Dormini plays off the beast. And in that situation, what I mean is the play action pass, the play action. Okay. That means Dormini he doesn't have to move as much. But when we're not playing with, play action off our running game, then, you know, we're hurting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves bad. That play action would have helped our offense tremendously down in the red zone tonight. And without that, you know, 7 plays in the red zone and the beast doesn't touch the ball at all. Hey man, something's got to give here. We got to, something's got to be corrected here.
That's silly. And, that's silly tone. And it's, and your point is well taken. Let's go back to our phones and we'll get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on the Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome in.
Anthony?
Yeah, go right ahead. And are you on a speaker or something? Speak up for me. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Clarky boy here.
All right, Clarky boy, what's on your mind tonight?
Tony, I was over here with a cast again. Fake Dane. I was actually with Tac Airstrike and Fake Dane. I'm sitting here on the porch. He says, sit down. He says, we're about to lose this game in regulation. Watch this. Sit down. Sure enough, Fake Dane called it as he saw it. It's typical botch. Typical botch. These guys have just removed themselves emotionally from this football team. It's unthinkable.
Yeah, you say typical botch, but let's play ball with me here for a second. How do you explain that, yeah, they mismanaged portions of that game tonight, but yet they were still going to win that game at the end of that game? If they get that thing to overtime, they were going to reel them in just like they reeled in Georgia Tech because they're a better football team. So how do you explain that his kids never quit? Abernathy or Justin Martin on
That's
the play
fine.
Like Tony talked about, running a guy down from behind as hard as John Kelly ran, the way the offensive line blocked, the key play that Ty Shuttle made when they got off the field on a stop in the fourth quarter, some of the quick turnovers that Tennessee or the turnover they were able to come up with when they came from behind. How do you explain the way that football team didn't quit not once, not twice, but 3 times and was in a position to get that thing to overtime? If you call him botch and this and that, and he's that bad.
Give it to him. They play hard. But they are set up for failure. I mean, they've got an absolute incompetent head man. He's proved it time and time again. He's a MAC coach at the very best. He will never, ever get it done here. He has proved it. I mean, it's unthinkable, some of the stuff he does. What are you on the inch line and you're throwing fades from the shotgun?
Dumbest thing I've ever seen.
It is remarkable.
It is remarkable. It's kicking a field goal. It's the equivalent of kicking a field goal a couple years against Oklahoma in that game. It's stupid is what it is. It's just – it's almost inexcusable is the word I would use. It's really, really, really stupid. And
Tony, if I'm John Curry,
yeah,
I come out Monday morning and say, well, you know, I'm not sure he's been here long enough, but I've seen enough. I come out if I'm him and I relieve Butch. I make it up to Phil. I put him in as an interim head coach.
Oh, my God. And then the jaws of life wouldn't be able to get him out of there. Are you kidding me?
Let's get the band back together, Tone. I mean, it's.
Oh, good God. It's come to this?
You know what? You let Phil finish out the year, and then you back the brakes truck up to Mr. Robert Stoops' home in Norman, Oklahoma.
57 years young. Could Bob Stoops win here? I think the answer is yes. He was very good in the SEC under.
Bob Stoops would have won that game by 3 touchdowns.
Tonight might have been the Stoops Bowl because you had Stoops.
Bob Stoops would have won that game by 3 touchdowns.
It might have been the Bob Stoops Bowl tonight. Might have been the Bob Stoops Bowl.
I mean, that
If it's not Gruden, it's Robert Stoops.
Gruden, good God. All right, thank you. Thanks for the call. Where are you talking about coaches? I mean, I don't want to go there. You know how early we are in this deal? We are beyond early in this deal. Let's go back to the phones, get our next call in. This season is a quarter way through. And as Tony said, this quarterback, who I don't necessarily believe in right now, could catch fire. And I'm going to trust Tony's opinion on him. Back to the phones we go. Get our next call in on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Tony, Smitty. What's going on?
Smitty, welcome in, man. You're on with the legend Tony Robinson on our legend line. Alex Myers and thousands and millions listening around the world.
Yeah, man, it's awesome to be on with T-Rob. I just want to kind of relay off the last caller. I mean, I kind of want to take a deep breath and not get worked up over this. I mean, could we not see this coming? I mean, we've seen this so many years in a row. Could we not see this coming? I mean, Butch Jones' butthole was, you couldn't fit a needle in there this afternoon. I mean, that dude, I'm ready to move on. I've already accepted it. I knew that we were going to lose this game. And basically midway through the quarter, when they fumbled the ball in the end zone, I was like, well, who cares? This guy should be up by two touchdowns. And, you know, if he comes back in this game, that's great. You know, good for the players, you know. And then you saw the typical Butch Jones where the playbook opens up.
Yep.
And then you saw it again when we got down with the chance to, you know, get the ball in the end zone. We had a couple of false starts. You know, maybe there should have been a timeout called in there and said, hey, like, let's settle down. We've got this. But, of course, you know, we've got tight ass over there who is, you know, he's now to the point, I think you guys have mentioned this before, that he's just trying to prove everything to the fan base. And what this guy doesn't understand is that this fan base knows more about football than the majority of fan bases do. And this isn't Cincinnati. This isn't Central Michigan, you know, where people don't give a shit. This is Tennessee, where people care and people know a lot about the game of football and know what's going on. You can't bullshit bullshitters. And there's a lot of bullshitters in this fan base. So you can't get away with it. And at this point, I'm not excited. I hate that we lost this game. It hurts, and I hate it for the players. But in a sense, I'm not 100% upset because this is the end, because Kentucky
wait a second. What do you mean this is the end? What do you mean?
I'm done. I'm done with them. And I'm glad that I think it's over. I think it's over with them. And that I could take a deep breath and say, you know what? I've watched 5 years of heartbreak. And I've taken 5 years of listening to all this bullcrap in press conferences and trying to prove to me that I'm wrong and that the rest of the fan base is wrong and that all this and that, you know, we're tired of it, Tony. And I know that you're on the same boat, man. I mean, we are tired of it.
You know what he was going to do tonight, which is kind of impossible for me, Smitty? What this guy was going to do tonight, which is impossible for me, is they were going to beat Florida and the whole fan base was going to be pissed off. Now, how do you do that? How does one – and people were still going to be mad because of the way the game was managed and the stupidity. And to your point, we understand the game too much to go for the Harry High School Cincinnati bullshit that we do on the goal line. That's what we do.